WSHU delivers trusted news reporting, keeping you accurately informed, and uplifting music to delight and surprise you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Ann Carrick. Your financial support gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
Hey there, you're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Thousands of folks across our region joined No Kings protests over the weekend. Wyandanch schools changed their mascot amid a state ban on Native American mascots. Plus, the latest from WSHU's Off the Path, those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thousands across Connecticut and Long Island joined the nationwide No Kings protests on Saturday. In Bridgeport, around 300 people lined both sides of Ash Creek Bridge to rally against the Trump administration. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar reports.
Protesters on both sides of the Post Road held signs that called out both Trump and ICE for what they call authoritarian rule. Cars driving past beeped endlessly. Some even waved their own No Kings signs out the window. Diana Bell is a longtime Connecticut resident who attended the protest. She's originally from the UK.
I came to this country 50 years ago. I didn't become a citizen until 30 years ago. And I love this country, but it's changed.
Bell says she's more and more frightened of where she lives. She says she was young during World War II, but she knew what was happening, quote, across the channel.
It seems to me that this is 1930s Germany, and we cannot allow it to happen to this amazing idea of a country. This is a really special place.
Bell and other protesters said taking part in the No Kings action eased some of their fears for the future. Organizers estimate more than 5 million people protested across the country. Ada Uzenlar, WSHU News.
A Long Island school district has announced a new team mascot. The move comes ahead of a June 30th deadline for all districts to remove Native American names and imagery. WSHU's Desiree DiOriel has more.
The Wyandanch Warriors will now be known as the Wolves, and they'll retire the image of a Native American man wearing a headdress. Meanwhile, the Massapequa chiefs are appealing a federal court decision that upheld the state mandate against Native American imagery. The mascot there is also a Native American in a headdress. U.S. Education Secretary Linda McMahon visited the district last month to lend her support to the chief's mascot. State law does allow Native American mascots, as long as the school district gets approval from the local tribes. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The City of New London says it's cracking down on car owners who dodge city car taxes by not registering their vehicle. Mayor Michael Passero says they're using a Shelton-based tax service to help them out after seeing the company's success in other towns.
Really an issue of equity. We have a responsibility to, for lack of a better term, chase down the people who are eluding registering their cars in the City of New London and paying the appropriate taxes. And it's been an ongoing problem, but the answer to why now is that Norwich, to be quite honest, entered into a contract with this company recently, and they were successful, and we thought it was a good model to follow.
Passero said they don't know how much money will recoup, but the idea is to get cars on the city's grand list so they're registered for future tax payments. The City of Norwich said they've been using the same service for 2 years and have collected almost $300,000 in unpaid car taxes. Connecticut is the only state that recognizes a German immigrant as the first to fly. The latest from WSHU's Off the Path is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
If you've got questions about public media funding, we've got answers. Our quick guide explains what's at stake for WSHU, what we know so far, and how you can help. It's all in one place. Just visit WSHU.org.
New York State lawmakers approved a bill to heavily increase the amount homeowners can get for upgrading old septic systems. That would matter a lot on Long Island, which has more than 250,000 cesspools. Homeowners can get reimbursed up to $25,000 if that bill passes. A Connecticut lawmaker is back in the U.S. after being stuck in the Middle East when airstrikes broke out between Israel and Iran. State Senator Saud Anwar was on a personal trip to Iraq. Airspace over the region had been shut down once the U.S. advised citizens to return home. An Islip-based food services company is laying off nearly 150 workers. Whitson's Food Services in Islandia says it'll downsize and relocate. It's one of the country's largest contract providers of prepared meals, especially for K-12 schools. Tweed New Haven Airport says it'll give out hundreds of air purifiers to people who live nearby. Residents groups around the airport have said for years that the planes are hurting their air quality. The airport is the northeast hub for Avelo Airlines and has just recently added Breeze. The state of Connecticut made a joint resolution back in 2013 to celebrate the nation's first powered flight, and it wasn't by the Wright brothers. Connecticut is the only state that recognizes a German immigrant as the first to fly. WSHU's Davis Donovan tells us how one man built a replica to prove it for the series Off the Path.
The Connecticut Air and Space Museum is housed at the Sikorsky Memorial Airport in Stratford. Inside are some classic planes and historic memorabilia, a lot of it connected to hometown hero Gustav Whitehead.
This is like the Whitehead corner.
Andy Kosh is a retired high school teacher who helps out at the museum. He leads me into a corner full of pictures of Whitehead and his famous number 21 Condor airplane.
We don't have a lot of room, but what I've done is I put the most important things that prove that Whitehead flew.
There's a poster-sized printout of the article from the Bridgeport Herald describing Whitehead's 1901 flight near Fairfield. And that was 2 years before the Wright brothers flew their plane at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. There's also, hanging from the ceiling, a replica of Whitehead's plane. And it's not quite as large as the original.
And the wings are made of silk-like material. They're covered with bamboo. The body of the boat-like structure that hangs underneath, the fuselage there, is made of Sitka spruce, and it's hanging up over our heads so that any little kids that come in here can walk right under it and look at this beautiful model.
But back in a nearby hangar, there's a full-size model.
There's no place to put it, and it's been rained on, and we've had a lot of trouble. It's underneath this tarpaulin right here.
Andy pulls back the tarp, and we get a glimpse of the wooden hull, still in good condition despite the years and the weather.
Okay, you can see the bamboo poles. You can look in here underneath. On a nice day, I'll be glad to open this up for you when we have no wind. But right now, it's all jammed in here with other machinery.
Andy and his friends built this model in 1985. They wondered, could it fly? They did a few practice runs, and then on a summer day in 1986, they took the plane down to the airport.
So we weren't expecting to fly. All of a sudden, the plane just jumped up in the air about 5 feet and really surprised me. I wasn't trying to fly. I just wanted to taxi it, but a little breeze came up. I was going about 20 miles an hour to start with, and a little breeze hit us, and boom, the plane lifted up.
The city of Bridgeport, Connecticut put up a monument to Whitehead at a local intersection amid a burst of statewide Whitehead mania in 2014. They topped it off with a replica of the plane on a little pole. One day, a couple of years ago, I noticed it was gone. Apparently, a car hit the monument. It was kind of a messy intersection, to be honest.
And it's a shame that nobody has offered to fix it up.
Which means Whitehead's legacy isn't as visible as it used to be around the Bridgeport area. But Andy has a plan to change that.
Right now, I'm building another Whitehead airplane. And even though it's not the same as Gustav Whitehead, I just want people to see a Whitehead plane flying.
Andy and his friends go down to a local marina every weekend and work on the new plane. It's just like the old days when he built his first replica.
I've been doing this now for 40 years, half my life.
He sees no reason to slow down now. He wants the thrill of taking off in a homemade plane and to imagine what it was like to be that first person or persons, whoever they were, to fly. This is Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio at WSHU.org or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. WSHU has announced a few new programming changes beginning this summer across both music and news talk. For the full news schedule, visit WSHU.org. And for more details about why these changes were made, visit our YouTube channel, WSHU Public Radio. There you'll find a recording of our live town hall event from last week that breaks it all down. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you for listening to After All Things. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.